All right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Nice to be here. I hope we're not wearing out our welcome coming so often, but I've been thinking and praying about a subject this morning that hopefully will be helpful and encouraging to you as believers. Good to see young people, younger people over here. And it's been on my heart to think about the subject of our prayer life. Now, I'm a shop guy, a tool guy. Some of you can identify with that. One of my great enjoyments in life is to repair broken things. So my workbench is usually piled with people's toasters and hair curlers and other things that just need to be fixed. And I like to fix them. When I get into spiritual subjects, I think there's a lot of things in the Christian life that don't work the way they're supposed to. And I hear messages on it, and I think to myself, I agree with everything that was said, but it didn't fix anything. It's just hearing what you already believe, but it didn't fix anything. And so I wonder how many of you folks are satisfied and content and happy with your prayer life with the Lord. If I ask for honest input here, which I won't do, but if I ask for that, you probably would say, yeah, I pray, but I wish it was better. And what you're really saying is, I wish I had more answers quicker, right? Honestly? And I'm not able to fix that. That's between you and the Lord. But I want to maybe approach the subject of prayer a little differently today and suggest a way that you might want to try that I honestly think would encourage you to see God answer some very specific prayers you're praying, but maybe not in the way that you've been used to, and there's the problem. So today what we're going to do is just four things in the time that we have. One is we'll do some review on the subject of faith, so we're sure we know what we're talking about. Secondly, we'll spend a few minutes and what I call dig a little deeper, think a little more deeply about this whole question. Thirdly, we'll look at what exactly is the problem? We want to put our finger on where some of the obstacles are. And then finally, we'll get to the subject of prayer, and I'll suggest an example that will maybe allow you to try some things. So that's a lot to do. So let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. I know we've looked at this before, but really need to be sure, by way of review, that we're all on the same page. Hebrews chapter 11, and I just want to read two verses this morning. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, let's just take a moment and ask the Lord for help. Thank the Heavenly Father for giving us, as believers, the Word of God and the Spirit of God in our hearts. And so we start out this morning by acknowledging our weakness, our dependence on the Lord for help. And for open hearts to listen carefully, for me to speak carefully. And we just ask now that the message this morning might be in some little sense life-changing for us. So please hear our cry and be near us now and help our minds to stay focused and follow along, knowing that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. We thank thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, first, a few minutes just to take review, and most of you will know this, but it's worth saying again just so we're all together on the same page. As a Christian, you had to be, you had to have faith, you had to believe in something to be saved, right? You heard a message, and you understood it, what little you could, and you believed on the Lord Jesus, and he forgave your sin and brought you into his family, and that's a past thing. So now when we think about what faith is to us as Christians in our ongoing life, we look at Hebrews chapter 1, 11, verse 1, and we find out two wonderful things. And as I say, this is a review, because we've been here before, but we find out two very wonderful things about faith that should thrill our hearts. For one thing, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So something you hope for is something that is still future. It's not here yet because you're hoping for it, right? And then it says, and faith is the evidence of things not seen. Evidence of things not seen, something you can't see is invisible. So you have the two greatest areas of human life that are a problem for us. One is the invisible, and the other is the future. Now, if you could have help with seeing the invisible, notice all the angels here this morning looking in on us, right? You can't see them, but they're here. You have a soul, yes? Well, you can't see it. To your eyes, it's invisible. Is God up there? Is there a heaven? It's invisible. So we need help with the invisible. And then things future. What's going to happen to you tomorrow? Where are you going to be next year? 5 years? Well, we don't know. So we need help with the invisible. We need help with the future. And Scripture tells us faith is that help. It is the substance. It gives reality to things that are future, and it gives evidence that things you can't see are really there. Just to take an example, the Lord Jesus spoke about the wind, and he says the wind blows. You can't see the wind, but when you see the trees doing this, you don't say, well, I wonder what's wrong with those trees. You say, oh, the wind is blowing. You see the evidence of the wind. That's how you know there is wind, right? And so faith, it provides you evidence of the unseen. So someone says, how do you know Jesus is in your heart? Well, I see the evidence of it in my life. So I can't see Jesus, I can't see my heart, but I can see the evidence of it, and that's how I know it. Okay, now the other thing is in verse 6, and we read that. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. You believe that? Faith is required to please God. As a Christian, you should. Because it's important. It's how you got saved. And Colossians tell us the same way you got saved, that's how you walk in the Lord. Now, that's so much for history review. Now, secondly, I want to think a little bit more deeply on this statement here in verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So if you really think about that statement, then we can say that for reasons we may not know, God is pleased with faith. He loves it. He looks for it. He wants to see it. And where he doesn't see it, he's really not interested in helping out. So as Christians then, we want to say, well, faith has got to be very important to my life. And thinking about our prayer life, we got to say, well, faith is very important in my prayer life. Do you follow me so far? Does that make sense? Faith is important to God, and faith pleases God. Well, if faith is important to God, so important that it makes him happy, it pleases him where he finds it, it means that he's looking for people then who have a certain outlook or attitude about the future and the invisible. The normal human response to the invisible is, well, I doubt it. I don't know if there's angels. I don't know if there's heaven. I don't know. I don't know if I believe all that stuff. That's a normal human response. When God puts his spirit in your heart and gives you his word, you say, I know there is a heaven. I know there is a God. The future. I know God holds the future. I know God oversees the future. And that's pleasing to God. So then, as we think a little more deeply about this subject, we can say, and see if you follow me on this thought, we can say that God does not want to do anything in you or for you that removes the element of faith. Okay? God doesn't want to do anything in you or for you that removes the element of faith. God wants you to go on believing. So now, you could see if you're perceptive that this could be a real problem in my prayer life, because I'm asking for God to do something that is undeniable. I mean, it takes away faith. And God says, no, I don't want to do that, because I'm pleased with faith, so I want to keep seeing it. Well, how is this going to work, Lord? Well, that's why we're studying this morning. All right, we want to look up at two verses. Matthew chapter 15. And this is going to be brief, because we just want to take a couple of verses to give us some evidence of the kind of thing I'm talking about here a little more deeply on this. Matthew chapter 15. And this lady comes up to the Lord and says, please help me. I have a son who's very ill, trouble with a demon. That's Matthew 15 and verse 21 through 28. We're not going to read it. But you can picture the scene. The lady comes up to the Lord and she's heard about him and she says, I need help. And the Lord gives her a kind of a rough answer, one you would not expect from him. And he said in verse 24, well, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and you're from a different country. You're an outsider. And she said in verse 25, Lord, help me. I'm in trouble here. This is a very big need for me, my daughter, my child. Never mind what country. I'm from another country, but I need help. And the Lord gives her an even rougher answer. Notice the next verse. Verse 26. It's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. So first he says, you're an outsider. Secondly, he said, you're not like one of the children, you're like a dog. The natural response to this is, well, I resent you saying these things to me. I'm out of here. But this woman sees past these hard words and says, look, this is who I believe it is. He could say whatever he wants. It's not going to offend me because he's God. I'll accept it, humble myself, submit to it. And so she says, well, that's true, Lord, verse 27, but even the dogs eat the crumbs. They're sitting under the master's table. Some crumbs fall off, and I'm only asking for a crumb. Now look what the Lord says to her in verse 28. Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made well that very hour. The Lord looked for faith, and he really saw it. And she was an outsider. If he'd have seen this faith in somebody from the nation of Israel, the quote, the chosen people, he would have said, well, that's what I expect to see. But this is an outsider. And he says, great is thy faith. So we need a little contrast to that. So turn over to the book of Mark, chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And this is a very kind of sad, shocking passage. The Lord is in his hometown, where he grew up, where you might expect that he would be welcomed. And let's just read two verses, verse 5 and 6. It says, he could do there no mighty work. He laid his hands on a few sick folks and healed them. What a statement. He could do no mighty works in this city. Why? Look at verse 6. He marveled because of their unbelief. What does that unbelief sound like? What does it look like? So we can identify it in our own hearts and in our surroundings. If you read earlier in the verse, he goes into the synagogue to teach them. And verse 2, it says, some of the people said, where did this man get these things? Verse 3, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary and Joseph's son, and Judas and Simon and Joseph? His sisters are here with us. We're offended by him. Who does he think he is? We know him. He's just one of the guys that live in this town. Do you see in that attitude that these people have? There's not a lack of faith. They don't see the invisible. They're just looking at, he's a carpenter. That's all they see. Their heart is not open. It's closed. It's blinded. And so we read the Lord couldn't do much there. And he leaves. So that's a contrast then. One group of people is critical, fault-finding, doubtful, filled with doubt. This woman is amazing in her faith. One, he says, I can't do things for you. The other, he says, great is your faith. Have what you asked. So maybe a good time to just pause and say, where are you? Where are you on that? All right, one more verse and then we're going to move on. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. We're kind of jumping into a big context here, but I want to just have this one little verse that you already know, but it's good to read it. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Okay, so all week long, wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you go to school, whatever you do, that's your walk. God says the real heart of your walk needs to be in faith and not after what you see with your eyes. Why? Because what you see with your eyes is in the world, and that's the devil's territory. What you see with your heart, that's the Lord's territory. And so as you walk all week long, You have to have a different view, a different perspective than all the lost people around you. That is very difficult, and it's made more difficult because, now I don't want to say anything too harsh here and convict anybody, but where do you spend more time in the week? Looking at your cell phone, your computer, and the television, or the Word of God? Faith, you're supposed to walk by faith, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What comes by the cell phone, the computer, and the television? The world's vision. And that's all by sight. Look at this car. Look at this makeup. Look at these Christmas gifts. Look at this thing you need. Look at this. Look at this. What will that do for my eternal? Don't ask that question. Can that bring me satisfaction? Don't ask that question. We don't deal with those unseen things. We're dealing with what's visible. We've dressed it up. We made it look cute, beautiful. And if you're going to be a true man of the world, you're going to say, I need that. I want to buy that. I love that game. I love those sports figures. I spend my time listening to them. The Hollywood people. I got to know their names and all the rest. We're walking by sight, not by faith. So I'm not trying to throw any stones or make you feel bad. I'm just saying that maybe it would be good to tip that balance a little bit and give a little bit more time to the spiritual realities that are going to last forever and a little less time to the physical realities that will soon be gone. All right, so that's the second part. Now the third part is, what is actually the problem at work here? Well, the problem is that because we walk by sight, we lack faith. Sight wars against faith, and it keeps it down. And I haven't done this before, so if it messes up, forgive me, but I put on my phone last night a hymn that I've been thinking about, and I wished I'd have put it up on the screen, but I didn't, so I'm just going to read it to you. This is a hymn by an English poet who lived a long time ago, 1700s. And you might have heard, yeah, here it is. You might have heard, his name is William Cowper, lived in 1730. He's among the greatest of the English poets, and he was a hymn writer. And with John Newton, they produced a hymn book. Cowper wrote a hymn, and I just want you to listen to the words of this hymn. If you know the song, well, I'll think of it, but anyway, the tune doesn't matter, but just listen to the words. Cowper is trying to put into words the problem that we face as believers with our faith. And it's called, oh, I know the hymn, Oh God, Our Help in Ages Past, Our Hope for Years to Come, that song. You could sing this to that tune. This is called God Moves in a Mysterious Way. So listen to this when I read it. It's not that long. God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea, and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. Now, just follow along what he's saying here. God in secret has a will and a plan and a desire, a design for history and for your life and mine. And deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. Now, listen to the next part. Ye fearful saints of fresh courage take, the clouds you so much dread, are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. See, that was when the woman came to him. What did she get? A frowning providence. You're an outsider. I don't throw the bread to the dogs. But behind that is a heart of love and grace. And what he wants to do is he wants to separate the people who aren't willing to have faith and say, well, that's the way I feel. Goodbye, I'm out of here. I don't want anything from you. And the people who say, Lord, I'll accept whatever you give me. You call me an outsider, that's fine. Say I'm with the dogs, that's fine. I humbly accept that. The Lord, his smiling face. Now, listen to this. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Here's the last line. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. That good? God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. So when Cowper here addresses the believers, he said, you fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break with blessing on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense. What is that? That's the physical. My ears, my eyes, the look, all of us. Do not judge the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him. Trust? That's faith. That's faith. But trust him for his grace. What's he really saying here? Really saying here, it's time for you to take a step of growth in your life. And stop running your life by your physical senses and start running your life by your spiritual senses. All right, so I want to make one more statement that I already made, but I want to make it again. Then we'll go on to our last point in the message. God does not want to do anything in you or for you that will remove the need for faith in your life. He is that committed to preserving and seeing it grow. So it's time to start walking by faith. It's time to start living by faith. It's time to stop living by our physical senses if we claim to be Christians. Okay, last part. Turn to Ephesians, book of Ephesians, chapter 3. And here's a suggestion that we can make in our prayer life to apply what we learned this morning and see it work. If you go to the average prayer meeting, and thankfully if you go, I'm thankful, even if you go. But if you go to the average prayer meeting in the average church, or if you look at your private prayer time, honestly, you will probably notice that a huge part of the things you're praying for are physical. So-and-so is sick and needs to get well. So-and-so lost his job and needs a job. So-and-so is going on a trip and wants safety, right? Big, long list of physical things. And the Lord says, well, I love to bless my children, but I don't want to give them anything that will not be good for them. And they're asking for the kind of thing that is in the physical realm, and so that removes the element of faith. How can we fix that? How can we improve it? You understand what I'm saying here? If you ask your children, what do you want for Christmas? And they said, jelly beans, Hershey bars, Reese's cups, cans of soda, and they gave you a list like that, you might say, well, I love you kids and I want to bless you and help you, but I'd like to give you something that's good for you. Could you ask for something that is nourishing and good for you? See the dilemma that God is in with us as children. So notice what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 1. He says in verse 15, after I heard of your faith, so these are Christians, faith in the Lord Jesus, and love to the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So Paul says, I pray for you unceasingly. What are you asking, Paul, for us as you pray? Here's what I'm asking, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You see that phrase there? I am praying for you that the eyes of your, not head, physical, but the eyes of your understanding, that is your spiritual eyes, will be enlightened. What a prayer request. How long has it been since you've prayed that for somebody else, for me, for your kids, or whoever? That's an important prayer. Now, why am I bringing all this out to you? Because suppose somebody here in the assembly was somebody that was related to you and you loved them very much, or just a friend, and you heard that they lost their job, and they're a prayer request. And so they come in, they say, well, pray for me. I need a job. And the next week you come and they say, I got a job. You say, praise God, I prayed for you. You got a job. Oh, that's nice. But nobody's going to do much growing there. So you say, it's time I take a little better approach. Let's do something that has more promise, that works, that God could see some faith and really bless. That's what I'd like. So I read this part in Ephesians and I say, you know, I'm going to pray that for him. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And how's that going to come? Through the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So Lord, I pray that the eyes of his understanding would be enlightened. And I'm going to pray that for you. Lord, open his spiritual eyes. And so a few weeks later, you come to church and the person goes, you say, how's it going? The person says, yeah, it's going a lot better. Why? You know, I've been realizing that I'm basically lazy and I can't hold a job. My eyes are open to the fact that I don't like work and I got to start being diligent and working. Oh. My eyes are open and I'm realizing that the reason why I was sick in the hospital is because I'm afraid to share the Lord with anybody. When I'm in the hospital, I'm talking to the nurses or the doctors. My eyes are opening to the fact that it's more than me getting healthy so I can go out and live my stupid life again. It's about me now being a witness for the Lord. And you say, oh, this is a lot better than just you got a job or you got well. This means now you're moving from a servant of you to a servant of God. What a thrilling answer to prayer. I'm going to keep praying that for you. Now notice what Paul goes on. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is. And then he mentions three things. The hope of his calling. The riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power toward us. Let me condense that down into very simple terms. Paul says, I'm praying for you that the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your heart, your spiritual eyes would be open so you would know the following things. First of all, what you're really called to. Secondly, what you mean to the Lord, because we're his inheritance, not our inheritance, it says his inheritance. And thirdly, the greatness of his power to answer this prayer and do it. So can you imagine then how life-changing this might be in somebody you're praying for? My eyes are beginning to open, and I'm beginning to realize that God saved me for a purpose. And I'm beginning to discover what his calling is in my life. Wow, that's bigger than you got a job or got a new car. I'm beginning to understand why God saved me. And I'm beginning now to try to get in line with that and serve the Lord where he called me. What is my spiritual gift? How am I serving him? See, my eyes are opening. And then I'm realizing how much I mean to him. So that when trouble comes, it's not him mad at me or disciplining me or has left me. It's that he's teaching me lessons to make me more effective and more useful. Praise God. And then the greatness of his power, and how great is that power? Paul says, well, that's the same power used to raise Christ from the dead. Greatest single miracle ever performed. That power is available to his children who want to live and walk by faith and grow. So maybe that would be a better prayer for the spiritual eyes of our hearts to be enlightened. And people begin to say things like, I'm finally realizing that if I serve the Lord in the assembly and I don't get a compliment, I'm offended. I maybe leave. No. I'm serving the Lord, and if nobody compliments me, I know the Lord is proud of me, and that's all I need. Good enough. If you compliment me, that's icing on the cake, but I don't need that to serve. Why? Because I'm doing it for the Lord. My eyes are being opened, see? Who's praying this prayer for me? Thank you if you're praying that prayer. So maybe if you want to see a little bit more answers to your prayer, rather than just praying for the physical problems that we're all facing all the time. And we got this list answered, checked, he got a job, he got another car, he got out of the hospital, whatever, whatever. We could start praying the kind of prayers where people would say, you know, I'm changing. My spiritual eyes are being opened. I see what God is doing in the world. I see what his calling is in my life, and I'm starting to get in line with that. If somebody came up to me and said that, I'd say, that is encouraging. I'm going to keep praying that prayer for you. And I hope you will pray it for me. So I hope that then we could take seriously this matter of our prayer life, and maybe a good place to start is to confess that our prayer life has been completely, or maybe not completely, but mostly overwhelmed by the needs and concerns of this present world that is passing away, and very little occupied with the world to come. And by a simple decision of my mind and my will, I could change that and begin to devote some of my prayer time. Now, for example, okay, we all know that political mess in our country and many others. Maybe it's time to stop praying for who got in office or who is running for office and what law will be passed and whatever, whatever. Maybe it's time to start praying for the eyes of the understanding of professing Christian leaders would be opened Young people, you got a life ahead of you. Why crash and burn and then say, okay, now that it's a big mess, I'll give it to God? Why not, as a young person, say, you know what? What is the hope of God's calling in my life? Should I be on the mission field, here at home, or somewhere else? How can I serve the Lord with my life? So I hope that these thoughts will not just die with the clock running out this morning, but I hope these thoughts can be a blessing to us. And maybe the Holy Spirit can just be nudging us, and it'll show in the meetings of the church, won't it? It'll show in the prayer meeting. It'll show in a lot of ways, little by little, that we're praying a little deeper prayers than just superficial stuff. And I'll tell you honestly, I try to pray that for you folks here. And we got to be practical about this. Thinking this week, you know, if I was in leadership here, I got to be careful because Brian may be listening in. I'd get myself in trouble. But if I was in leadership here, I would consider, we got half a dozen men who sit silently at the Lord's Supper every week. I'd call somebody. I have a friend who does this. Not around here. He lives out west. But I'd call somebody up and say, brother, at 9:30 or 10 or 10:30, whatever time, will you stand up and give thanks for the bread tomorrow morning? Maybe get some fire under them, get some help, get going. Some people will say, oh, you're quenching the spirit, calling a brother like that. You know what I would say? The spirit would rejoice, saying, I wrote in the Bible, a church exists for the equipping of the saints. That man is taking seriously the equipping of the saints. You don't want to be standing up. You're lazy or scared or timid. Will you stand up? All you have to say is, Lord, thank you for the bread. Amen. And sit down. Good enough. Right? So we need to pray for our leaders then, that the eyes of their understanding will be open. And they will say, look, how can we stop playing church? Not saying you are, but if we are in any area, stop playing church and take seriously the fact that we're here for the equipping of the saints. We got a job to do. We got a mission. We got lost people out in the world. Wouldn't it be nice if the elders said, or somebody in leadership said, somebody in Sunday school or whoever said, you know what? My eyes are open to the fact that we need to start following this scripture, taking this seriously. The eyes of my understanding, the eyes of my heart are opening. We need to make some changes. What would you say? I'm going to keep praying that prayer. That one's working. That one's producing fruit. All right, let's look to the Lord. We thank the Heavenly Father for the joy of getting together and thinking deeply about a subject that pleases God, even our faith. We do ask, Lord, for a blessing on the days ahead, granted if we're given them, that we might please the Lord by faith, not just saying, I believe this or that, but like that woman, adjusting our life by our faith and receiving the blessing of the Lord. So help us, Lord. We're weak. We need help. But may we, as a result of our thoughts this morning, make some resolve to do it a little differently and begin to pray in line with thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. These are heavenly matters. And so we ask for grace and help in this, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.